So we're looking then this morning at what the Bible has to say about elders. We've been talking over a couple of months about the church. What is a church? What does it do? How does it function? What's it for? How is it to be organized? Today we're going to look at this subject of elders. And we'll return to it, God willing, next week as well. There in 1 Peter, the first thing I want us to see, there are three titles that are used to refer to elders. So Peter writes, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, be shepherds of God's flock, serve as overseers. And those are the three words that the New Testament uses to talk about elders. And they're all used here. And we see that they're kind of used interchangeably in the New Testament. The word overseer is the word that gives us the term bishop. The word shepherd in Latin gives us the word pastor. So in the New Testament, these three words, elder and overseer or bishop and shepherd, what we might call pastor, are used interchangeably to talk about the same office. In Acts 20 that we read, we saw the same thing. In verse 17, we're told Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders. And in verse 28, he tells them to keep watch of the flock, that's the work of a shepherd, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, be shepherds of the church of God. So an elder is an overseer, is a shepherd, is a bishop, is a pastor. That's what the Bible teaches. And I want to draw out some features of the eldership. What does the Bible teach us about, then, elders? Well, the first thing to say is the Bible talks about plurality. Plurality among an eldership. It never mentions elders in the singular. So you could read Acts chapter 11 and verse 30. It says, they, that is the church in Antioch, sent their gift to the elders of the church in Jerusalem, by Barnabas and Saul. We read in Acts 20 of Paul sending for the elders of the church at Ephesus. You could look at Philippians 1:1 where he writes to the elders. And on and on and on. The New Testament pattern is that there would be more than one elder. Now that is for the sake both of the elders themselves and the sake of the church. It's a safeguard. No one individual should have to put up with the responsibility of shepherding the church of God on their own. And no church should have to put up with one individual trying to shepherd the church on his own. So when a church finds itself with one elder, with one pastor, with one overseer, like us, now that's not sinful, but that is irregular. That's not really in line with what the Bible teaches, what God's pattern is for the church. What then should a church like us, who finds ourselves in that position, do? Well, we start praying. Elders are given as a gift to the church, from the head of the church, from Jesus Christ. And so we pray that God would provide more, would raise up more. And we can then expect that God would provide more, since this is his plan, this is his pattern. So we pray, and we look to God to see him provide them. So there's plurality. But there's also diversity. Christ is the head of the church, and he gives gifts to the church as he sees fit. So elders aren't all going to be exactly the same. One man might be really good at pastoral counseling, dealing one-to-one with someone and helping them through a particular spiritual difficulties. Another elder might be a really gifted preacher. Someone might be really good at opening up new opportunities to reach out to those outside the church, evangelism. Another elder would be really great drawing alongside perhaps new converts, new Christians, and building them up, helping them to mature. There's a diversity. But there's a parity. The Bible doesn't create a kind of hierarchy between them. Doesn't distinguish between them. They all have the same authority. Now, because of their diversity, because of their different gifts, they might operate in slightly different spheres. They might have different influence, but they all have the same authority. And that's the last feature to draw out, is that they have this authority. The chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, has entrusted the flock to these shepherds. And that means two things. Firstly, that they exercise authority. The head of the church has given them this authority. Elsewhere, we're told that elders direct or rule. So we see that, but we also see that it's not their church. The authority is the authority of Christ. It's not their church, it's His. It's not my church, it's His. The author of Hebrews tells us that we're to obey our leaders as those who have to give an account. Jesus is the head, the chief shepherd, and other shepherds answer to Him. That means that one day I'll have to stand before God and give an account for every action, every day, every prayer, every sermon, every decision, every phone call, every visit that I make while I serve as an elder here. That's frankly terrifying. Except that it's not my church, it's His. And there's a kind of healthy tension that's set us up for us here, because we are a congregational church. We believe from the Bible that Christ makes His mind known through the church as we gather together. And at the same time, we're told elders are to lead. Now that's not contradictory, but we do have to work those two things out and hold them together. So those are some of the features of eldership, that there's plurality and diversity and parity and authority. But the other thing I wanted to see is what is an elder for? What is the function of eldership? What on earth do they do? Well, we see something of their role from their titles. An elder is described as a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Well, looks after sheep. Shepherds feed the flock. Absolutely central to the role of an elder is the ministry of God's word, is feeding God's people from His word. Now we look back at the beginning of this series, at Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, where there's that division in the church in Jerusalem, one segment is complaining that their widows are being missed out as the food is being distributed for the poor. And we're told in Acts 6 and verse 2, the 12, the apostles, gathered all the disciples together and said, "It wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." Absolutely central is the ministry of the word and prayer to feed the flock. Prayer and the ministry of the word are tied intimately together. So an elder, to be feeding the flock by ministering the word and praying. That's the priority. That's to be my priority. Not the restoration of the chapel, not anything else, but my priority of first importance. Elders are to be praying and teaching the Bible. Shepherds feed the flock. But shepherds also guard the flock. In Acts 20, Paul warned, we read it, "Be shepherds of the church of God." This is the second part of verse 28, Acts 20. "Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard." Shepherds are to guard the flock. There are wolves out there. Enemies of the church. Enemies of God's truth. Who want to tear the flock apart. Who want to lead off sheep to follow them. And a shepherd's job is to guard the flock, to discern truth, to discern those who want to distort the truth, those who are wolves, those who would lead the people astray. So shepherds feed the flock, they guard the flock. Shepherds sometimes are called to rescue sheep from the flock. Sometimes sheep wander off. They need to be brought back. If you've ever had any dealings with sheep, sometimes that requires a certain measure of firmness. A shepherd has a crook, doesn't he? It's a stick with a curve on the end that he uses for restraining the sheep by its leg or its neck. Sometimes shepherding requires that element of firmness to bring back sheep that have got themselves in danger or in trouble. And likewise, sometimes elders need to be firm to lovingly warn and bring back those who are wandering away from the flock and who are putting themselves in danger. Shepherding is not a particularly glamorous job. I know sheep look white and fluffy when they're new and fresh, but shepherding them is not a particularly glamorous job. And we are told here that elders are to serve. There is to be then a humility about elders. They're not to be proud men, not to be arrogant people. They lead the church, yes, but they serve the church. Again, think of the shepherd. He's among the sheep. He smells of sheep. There's lanolin on his hands. Clothes are mucky. Shepherds do something called dagging. You know what dagging is? You know the wool around the sheep's bottom? The stuff that catches all the dung, the muck. Well, if you leave it on there, the sheep's going to get parasites. It's going to get infected. So the shepherd comes and he trims off the muck-encrusted wool from around the sheep's bottom. It's not particularly glamorous work. Elders serve the church. It isn't glamorous work. It's to be done humbly. And yet we're told that elders are overseers. In other words, there's an element of leading, of direction. Think of the shepherd. He leads the flock. He decides where it is they're going to graze. He decides when it's time for them to be sheared or dipped. There is an element of leadership, of taking initiative. Again, overseer, we're told. On a building site, you have a foreman. He directs the work. He takes initiative. Elders then take initiative, lead. They do so humbly. They do so in a spirit of service. They do so as they minister the word and open it up to God's people and show God's people what it is that God is saying. And elders are to set an example. 1 Peter 5 and verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So elders, in the way they live, in their relationship with their church, in their interactions within the family and with those outside the church, in their concern for the gospel, in the way they put God's word front and center in their lives, in their attitude towards the Bible, towards others, in their worship, they are to set an example. There's an element in which they say, watch me. Maybe if you're learning a trade or a craft, you become an apprentice. And you go to the master craftsman or the tradesman and you watch. And the elder is to be an example. It's what Peter says here. It's what Paul says in places like 1 Corinthians 4 and elsewhere. He says, imitate me. Now, don't expect to see perfection when you look at your elders. Don't expect to see the finished article. And yet the elder is to be an example. Well, there's a sense in which all of us, all of you who are mature Christians, Christians who've been on the road for a long time, ought to be able to look for young believers and say, watch me, learn. And if you're a younger Christian, I don't mean in years, I mean in terms of your walk, look around you, find a mature believer and watch, learn. But elders particularly are to be examples. Well, if you've been listening so far, you've maybe begun to wonder, well, is our elder up to the job? And you'd be right. Your pastor daily feels a responsibility and knows that he falls far short, and I'd ask you to pray for me in that. But before you feel too satisfied, you need to know, if you're honest, that as sheep you fall short as well. And that all of us, pastor and people together, shepherd and flock together, we're a mess, aren't we? We fall so far short of what God intends for us. And so as you come to the end, I want to tell you that there's good news. And the good news for you and for me is this. It's that I'm just an under-shepherd. Your elders are just little shepherds, assistants. And that there is a chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5 And verse 4 points to the appearing of the chief shepherd. That's the chief shepherd that provides the under shepherds. As I say, pray that he'd provide one for us. But more than that, not only is he the chief shepherd, he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for his flock. You and I had wandered off. When we had gone our own way and turned our backs on God, he is the good shepherd who came looking for us. He is the good shepherd who searched for us even at the cost of his own life. The good shepherd who searched until he found. The good shepherd who wasn't ashamed to be down among the sheep, as it were. Praise God for the good shepherd, for Jesus Christ. The good shepherd loves his sheep. The good shepherd is absolutely determined to bring them home to himself. Let me finish by asking you, are you one of his flock? Are you one of those sheep? Are you one of the sheep for whom he died? One of those for whom he was out searching on the hillside? And if you're not, why not? Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give gifts to your church. One of them is elders, shepherds who would lead and rule. We thank you for those you provided in this church over the years. But Lord God, more than that, we thank you for the great shepherd. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord God, that each of us would examine ourselves to see whether or not we are trusting in him, whether or not we are in his flock. Pray, Lord God, as a church, we would look to him, that you would receive the glory and honor. We ask it in his good name.